Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, Jerrica.
Ah, oh, morning, Joan. Morning. How are you today?
I'm okay. I mean, I've been doing this juice cleanse.
Oh, yes.
Partly to just lose a little bit of bloating. It's not weight.
I thought you were going to say weight. I was going to say, but Joan, there's nothing on you.
It's just a bloating, which when I do get a distended tum, it does affect my dresses and so forth. And I just like to look flat as a pancake down there and very well stacked up top. And I have had my nipples raised because I feel that they do, much as these ops are wonderful. Mm. And I have had a slight limit in my sensation since moving the nipples around so much. Oh. I do want them higher. Yes. I just want them higher.
Well, there's some slippage, isn't there, after an op?
There always is. They look fantastic on day one, apart from all the blood and the gore.
Yes, bruising.
And the bruising, the bruised chest, breastal regions. But
I mean, Mahmoud's great sort of guidelines on this one, hasn't he? And follow-up care, like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, it's intense. He was there mostly through the night. I had to give him I've got him on speed dial, as you know, and yes, gave an emergency call.
He came over, did he?
He did come over because I was feeling very nervy about where I'd had the nipples put. Mm. I was sort of thinking, oh God, have I gone too far? Mm. No, I think I've done the right thing.
I'm sure you have.
And they're much darker.
Yes.
As you remember, when I was born, I was blessed with very pale, almost white nipples.
Mm. So the Milky Bar kid nipples.
Exactly. As years went through and I got the puffy areola look for a while, which was the sort of pubescent album cover of the, not sure which brand, if it was Led Zeppelin or
Steely Dan
or Jethro Tull, I don't know, but any one of those. I did go for that look for a while. And so Mahmoud replaced mine with these. Well, they're actually monkey nipples, but they're very, very tough.
Yes. Well, then I can see. I mean, this is the top of your shirt is undone. Mm. You just see the edge of it.
Yes.
Wonderful.
I know that's a bit high, but.
Well, no, but as you say, they slip down, don't they? And this is a wonderful sort of chestnutty, conquery brown, isn't it? And nothing wrong with that, you know.
No, I noticed quite a few guys this morning as I walked by with quite bulky frontal areas. And I'm pretty sure it was my nipples peaking that was doing it.
Yes, a bit of pocket shuffling going on with the young technician as we came through, I noticed.
Yes. Oh, Barry's a funny one, isn't he?
Oh, isn't he? Such a fumbler. But it's flattering, Joan, isn't it?
It is. It's nice and it gives me a little pep up.
Of course it does.
So,
and
yes.
Why not?
Yes.
You know, spending a small fortune on these sort of things, and it's good to know they're having the right effect.
Yes, absolutely.
so good for you.
Excuse me.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
Is that the anaesthetic coming?
Yes, you know when they leave the pipe down your throat and then you're left with a slightly sort of paralysed throat.
Is that because you've got to go back?
Well, no, there's just bits of pipe.
Right.
Mahmoud says he can probably suck those out later.
Oh, right, okay, because some of it's now dissolving pipe, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's just that these haven't dissolved for whatever reason.
No. Anyway, I suppose if you're very dry down there. Yes, I've got
throat-ish. A bit dry down there. I probably need some of Mahmoud's, one of his balms.
Syrupy balms.
Yes.
He's got a wonderful range of that sort of thing, hasn't he? Of lubricants and balms.
Oh,
and,
yes. I love how he gives it to you. It's so sweet. It's a bit like with the Calpol with little babies when you do it in the syringe.
Yes.
He pushes it down my throat.
Holds the back of your head quite firmly.
Yes, it pushes it in and out and it's lovely.
Wonderful, wonderful. Quite a skill, quite a technique.
Yes.
Very gentle. Gentle big man, isn't he?
Gorgeous, golden man.
Right.
Okay,
so shall we?
Yes, on to our first problem.
Wonderful.
Dear Joan and Jerrica, my daughter is 31 and still not married. Mm. We recently introduced her to a lovely chap in his early 60s, and he's taken her bowling and to a musical twice in one day. We feel they are very well suited, but she says she's unsure. and particularly now that she's found out he's her uncle. Is it medically wrong for them to continue their relationship, Iris Bell?
Hello, Iris. Yes. No, it's not, is the short answer. Mm. There's some very, very successful uncle and niece marriages. Less
very
successful.
Nice, actually.
Well, one. I mean, how wonderful. You know what you're getting. You can talk openly in the family if you have any marital problems or sexual difficulties.
And you're sort of a little bit more bound to stay together, as in you have to.
You absolutely
have to. Because you've got the pressure of the family around you saying, but we're family.
That's it. And in this case, it sounds like Iris Bell has made some very good choices. And I don't know what this young lady, the daughter, is playing at, really.
Well, so Iris is... It's her brother that her daughter is involved with.
Yes.
And in her longer letter, she sent lots of photographs of her brother and her daughter making love.
Yes. Lovely.
Bathing her when she was little and then, you know,
and
she
then a recreation
up.
Of that. That's right.
Yes,
wonderful,
that's
isn't it?
Very sweet, though, isn't it?
What a lovely idea.
Yes.
Yes, yes. That's a very nice family album sort of shot, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, wonderful.
But medically, she's talking about it. Well, no. She's really talking about, when we get to the nuts and bolts of it, is should they procreate? Will they have children that are challenged in any way due to the genes being
genetic,
within the same pool?
Yes. Well, yes and no. I mean, it's not a simple answer, I'm afraid. Yes, your daughter may well give birth to a child with the same sort of nose as your brother, which... You know, it's a consideration, isn't it? Because that's an unusual...
Well, this is very strange.
It's an unusual nose. But look, there's surgery nowadays, isn't there? I mean, nobody's got to walk around with a nose they don't like nowadays.
No.
It was, you know, it used to be that if you had a cabbage ear or a big old long Pinocchio nose...
Which he does have.
Which he does have. You'd have to put up that with that for life. Mm. Not now.
But I don't know that it's just the nose she's worried about. You know, obviously you can come out with three eyes or some extra limbs.
It can happen. It's rare, Joan, but, you know, it's a consideration. But
I do think people do have to experiment, don't they? It's apparently all right to experiment, you know, two girls kissing or whatever, but more frowned upon for interfamilial experimentation.
Yes, fingering or what have you, sort of...
I think something like that is very...
Oh, it's almost nothing.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. Goodness, I mean, you know, the number of times one's been fingered over the years, you know, I couldn't possibly begin to count. You know, a French holiday, a school trip, a trip to the proms, the Wimpy Bar.
Queuing up at the post office. I mean, it's just never ending.
It's a fact of life. It's something that women have to get used to. Can be quite fun. You know, goodness me, there's so many poor blokes nowadays. You know, there's so many rules and regulations, the strictures. What was wrong with a bit of fingering in the post office? So, yes, thanks for writing in, Iris.
Dear Joan and Jerica,
my husband left me when I was in my mid-50s for a woman of 21, leaving me with three teenagers to look after and creeping rheumatoid arthritis. Him and his new young wife had twins, and he sends cards of them all boasting that he's never been happier. I met Mirjana, his new wife, for coffee, and she was gloating about how helpful he is with the twins and how active in the bedroom. He never did anything with our three. I feel so bitter and sometimes wish they'd all die in a car crash. Rosalind Smithers from Glossop.
Goodness, goodness me. Let's have a bigger picture pullback here, Joan. Let's just scroll and pull out and have a look at the bigger picture.
Well, there's Mirjana for a start.
Mirjana, yes, all right. Mirjana is a very fortunate lady. She sounds like she's having some gorgeous, lovely, cosy and erotic times in the bedroom with this fella. Yes, who looks like a very nice man.
Really lovely, doesn't he? Twinkly eyes.
A clergyman by the look of him, with that little collar, unless that's a fashion thing that I've missed out on.
No, I think he is a clergyman, and he's got just a really kind face.
Lovely face. And, but, you know, as you can see, you know, you see with that, he's got a little frown on his forehead, and years of people coming along and confessing and whinging and sort of dumping and, you know, poor man. It's time for him. It's time for him and Mirjana. It's time for him to have some fully deserved me time.
And I think as well, you can learn so much from a first family, can't you? We've heard this before. And I think what he's saying is, you know what? I had a go with number one and the three kids. number two's happening for me. I know what I'm doing. He's got these young, refreshing, life-affirming twins.
Yes, they're lovely-looking twins. Fantastic
Majana, who's got a figure back like that.
Oh, my God.
And I do think Majana's man there, or Rosalind Smithers' ex.
What's his name?
His name is Doran.
Doran? That's an unusual name, isn't it?
It is.
Doran... she's kept her name.
She's kept it. This is so common with women. They hold on to the marital name in the hope that people won't judge them.
Oh, dear, Rosalind. It's hard to know where to start. I mean, you know, looking... we've put the pictures up here side by side. We've got Rosalind next to...
Majana.
And we've got the twins next to those three poor, spotty boys of Rosalind's. It's not hard to see, with all due respect, why
Doran fled.
Doran has fled the nest, of whatever you want to call it, and found himself a new little setup.
Apparently, Majana came to church. That's how it all started. She was new to the area.
Right.
Rosalind's very bitter about the fact that she invited her round, she took her for coffees and biscuits and all the churchy things that people do. And before she knew it, Majana had worked her way into the bedroom.
Into his pajamas. Majana in your pajamas. It's hard, this one, isn't it, Joan? I mean, on one hand, you could say we feel a bit sorry for Rosalind. You know, ostensibly her life is over. Those spotty boys are going to very quickly be fleeing the nest, aren't they?
Well, they're spending most of the time masturbating.
Yes, they're up in their rooms. They've got socks and towels galore that they're furtively shuffling into at all hours of the day and night. That's what they do. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. Probably drying up rather down there. I don't think she's on HRT by the look of things. She'll be sort of a bit husky and a bit, lost her elasticity. And I imagine she's probably, I don't know, pleasuring herself very little by the look of it.
I don't think she's interested remotely in that. And I would suspect she hasn't been for a very long time. And Doran, as a man of the cloth, is filled with the vibrancy of life, isn't he?
And of course, of God.
Absolutely, he's going to want to go and put that somewhere. And Majana's there.
Yes, you know, she's taking care of herself.
She's stunning. And as Rosalind says, Majana doesn't speak a word of English. She claims that Doran is fine with that. Well, why shouldn't he be?
Why shouldn't he be?
I mean, are we now going to start saying, deaf people or mute people are not to be made love to and given families?
I mean, that's awful. I mean, that's sort of Hitlerian.
It's satanic.
It's Hitlerian.
Instant karma.
It seems to me that that's a really very, very nasty reference that's designed to stir up racial hatred and tension.
I think that's Rosalind's plan. I think she's probably behind a bigger movement.
Absolutely. What I will say, Rosalind, is
lively.
Look lively. You know, I would say start considering some course of action that involves a reverse on this idea. You know, you'll find yourself banged up and not in a good way pretty quickly if you consider this course of action. But thank you for writing in.
Dear Joan and Jerrica, I'm a proud gay man with a totally ripped bod and long, healthy penis, but I just can't seem to find the right guy. I love fishing, dancing and conversation and can cook a pretty mean gumbo, but guys always leave me after the first date. What am I doing wrong? And that's Reggie Fox from Chiswick.
Oh, hello, Reggie. Well, that doesn't sound to me like you're doing anything wrong. It sounds to me like you've got all the goods. You've got a lot going for you. I mean, goodness, a long penis is something that we're increasingly...
And a healthy one.
And healthy, as you say, is increasingly rare, particularly in the gay community.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no accounting for taste. Obviously, there are some people that prefer a short, unhealthy penis. I've always loved a long penis. I've certainly, over the years, have found that long...
I know, you've tended to take length over girth.
Absolutely, I'll always choose...
Even if it's a bit wormy.
Absolutely, I'll always choose a wormy, long, sort of elongated penis over a stumpy, tree-trunky one. And it's seen me very well. I mean, I do have very, very narrow... I don't mind saying it, narrow vaginal walls.
But it's a long way up to your cervix.
It's an awfully long way. Again, you know, I'm very tall. I've got long legs and I've got a very long vaginal canal. So the cervix is way, way, way up, right up there. So that's why I've always liked a long, thin penis. I don't know about the gay community so much. Joan, perhaps you can enlighten me a bit here.
Well, we've talked before, haven't we, when we've had questions of what do gay men do, and we've discussed the nudging, the touching, the this and the that. So I think we know enough to know that Reggie... I'm wondering if it's a personality thing. I'm wondering, looking at your photo, in honesty, yes, your body's very nice and shredded and ripped and healthy and all of those things.
Yes.
The penis is very long.
It's lovely.
Facially, I would say it's almost as if you're one of those things where you put together different parts of the body.
Sort of Mr. Potato Head type thing.
Yes, yes. It is a potato head. It's it's a very strange and really quite... big head.
Sort of not helped by those eyebrows, is he? I mean, when you say Mr. Potato Head, and you know, you do think, don't you, of those sort of big clip-on eyebrows, it's almost as though that's what's happening.
I mean, have you clipped them on? Yes. Which is one question.
Essentially.
If so, I would take them off, because...
Perhaps not. I mean, maybe that he's got some alopecia, eyebrow alopecia, again, quite common in the gay community, and leading...
We've talked about before, haven't we? You have the thing with your eyebrows getting knocked off during oral sex.
Yes, yes, indeed. Oral intercourse.
And I suppose with this, you know, I don't know if he's the one that gives or receives, but either way, the eyebrows can really come in for a bashing. Well, I mean, that's why perhaps he has these clip-on ones, I don't know.
Yeah, so it may well be. I mean, first I'd say maybe think about a tattoo. Those are very effective, as we talked about before. You know, I don't know, have a transplant. Somebody's got a lot of very, very ebullient pubic hair there that looks very fun. I mean, some of that, you know, perhaps even into a little eyebrow section wig that you could pop on.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the problem as well with a penis of that length...
What is that, do you think, Joan?
I would say in inches.
Either. So
15. Now, it's very, very thin.
And about a centimetre wide.
Yes.
Yes.
So that is going to be difficult for some guys. That is also going to be, in terms of blood flow, possibly causing you some problems. You say you feel sick often when you have anal intercourse. Now, I don't know if that's the act itself or the fact the blood's doing all its business down there and leaving nothing for your brain.
Exactly. Is it self-hatred or is it a physical reaction? You know, it's hard to say. You know, you've got very nice writing, Reggie Fox.
That is in your favour. Chiswick's a lovely place to live.
That's great, isn't it? Turnham Green. I had a great friend who lived down in Turnham Green. And yes, quite a lot going on down there.
Yes, and I would imagine, given the photos you've sent of your lovely place, I mean, gosh, very nice. I don't know who would be turning down sitting on those sort of chaise longue and making love there. I don't know if that's what you do, or perhaps you do what a lot of gay men do, which of course is want to go into extremely dirty toilets and do things there.
I mean, I mean, my eye's drawn again and again back to this penis, Joan, which seems to stand out of everything in the picture, you know, going back.
It's very pale.
It's very pale, very long. Yes, I mean, I wonder, Joan, whether something's happened to this penis. He says healthy. Do we know that that's the case? Has this penis been stretched on a fishing rod? I don't know. Is he alluding perhaps to some practice where, you know, which I know I've heard increasingly that is happening more and more in these communities, where you'll take a fish hook, one of those pretty ones that's sort of rather fun, made of feathers, hook it onto the end of the penis and then reel it in, which then stretches the penis beyond recognition. Is this what this poor man is writing in to tell us about? Is this a cry for help?
I think it might be. I really do. And I think someone's had a good go at bleaching that penis. It's been scrubbed. It's been stretched.
Scraped. And
as we know, we've talked before about AIDS and how AIDS used to be fashionable, how now it's not. It's a trendy.
No, it's gone way out of fashion. People are, no, that's, you know, that's out of the picture really as far as possible, I believe.
So I don't think that's going on there.
No.
But I do think there's something sinister.
Yes, I mean, I think obviously there's a gap in the market for something to replace AIDS.
You've got to have a gimmick, haven't you? And I think he's...
He's either done that, as you say, through weird practices around fishing or...
Penis fishing.
Possibly he had an abusive mother who would stretch his penis every morning, perhaps in an attempt to stop him from being a homosexual.
Could well be that, Joan, and she's just doing what she thought was right.
Mm.
But again, that may have resulted in this very, very, very long, very, very narrow...
And, you know, how did Mum do it? Did she have, you know, everyone round for coffee morning and they all had a go?
Had a tug. Yes, it may well be. I mean, my mind's jumping to these sort of heated rollers, Joan, and wondering if there wasn't some, you know, rather unpleasant club where mums would come round and heat up the rollers and then perhaps wrap this poor penis around the roller and...
I think that's very possible.
For a bit of
course,
fun.
There has been the trend amongst some of the gay community to try and create the curly penis that,
yes,
of course, pigs and foxes have.
Indeed. It's a bit of a mystery. Reggie, we're going to probably need some more details, a bit more about your home life, a bit more about your mum. I don't know whether you want to send us some more photos of this very, very long penis. It would be interesting.
I'd like to see it erect.
I was going to say...
Because if it's that long.
I think we need to see what it looks like when it's erect, and then perhaps we can have more of an idea.
Mm.
So please do keep in touch. We're very, very interested to hear back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it, guys. That's all, folks.
That's all we got for you today. Wonderful. It's been very rich and varied and terribly interesting, Jo.
Oh, always is.
Yes.
Very, very stimulating.
Wonderful. Indeed.
So what's your plan for the rest of the day?
Well, Joan, I'm hopping straight over to the airport, jumping on a jet and heading off to do my TED Talk.
Oh, super. And
very
this is
exciting.
On depression.
This is on depression and the menopause, which, of course, is, as you know, a big topic of mine. And the alleged connections between the two, which I obviously...
Hotly dispute,
as you know, Joan. A lot of this is in, sadly, in ladies' heads. And, you know, it needs a myth that seriously needs debunking. So I'm off to give my advice and talk through that with our American friends.
Absolutely. And are you still... I know you said there's been all these different... recent developments with mouse droppings and...
Yes, the fact that mice are just one gene away from us.
Mm.
So, you know, so this, yes, people have been digging around in mouse droppings and finding when mice go through a little mouse menopause, which they do increasingly. They're living a lot longer, incidentally, mice. Better food left lying
good
around.
HRT they're having. So they get a lot of calcium with the cheese.
Indeed,
scrabble around the kitchen.
Indeed, I mean, there's so much HRT floating around in the water supply now, and it being excreted out of women's bodies left, right, and centre.
I've seen a lot of these very big boob mice.
Yes, there's mice with huge, huge mammalian breasts, mice with very large penises, mice with distended ani.
I know that now, of course, as with everything, there's now mouse porn, which men are turning to.
Absolutely. There's a very, very big rich vein there of mouse porn. There's mice being bred specifically for porn. As you say, these large-breasted mice are being developed.
What I do like, though, is the stories that they do with the mice. They're lovely.
They
do appeal more to women because there is more of a story.
Well, they're more romantic, Joan, a lot of these stories. And there's some of these mice have got very big eyes. They're using the big-eyed mice more and more because they're sort of quite dreamy looking.
Gorgeous, some of them, and teary looking, some of them.
Yeah, some of them actually do produce tears. They can actually cry now, they've discovered mice.
I like the pink-eyed ones as well.
Oh, yes, you know, and the ones that have got contact lenses, colour contact lenses that they can put in mice eyes now. You know, there's a whole range of opportunity here that had been previously undiscovered. You know, they're asking to be paid, fair enough. You know, they have to make a living, and I don't begrudge them that. But yes, it's a complex series of chemical interactions within nature, and it's inevitable, really, isn't it, Joan, that the animals are going to move into what has been considered human territory. But you know, my point in this TED talk is that we're squirting HRT into our own, but not us, obviously we don't need it, but many women are using it to somehow stay younger or, you know, retain more juice in the vaginal area, whatever it is they're after, trying to avoid these dramatic, moody mood swings that they're blaming on the menopause, pumping themselves full of chemicals, and then inevitably, of course, the animal kingdom ends up suffering. Mm. But anyway, that's my day.
Oh, well, jolly good luck to you. It sounds very, very positive, and I'm absolutely fascinated to know more about the mice, so we'll certainly be looking further into that topic as well.
Well, I might even bring one back.
Mouse boyfriend.
Indeed.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.